Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
10:09. What's going on? Good to be here. Mark Harmon with you till 1 a.m. Always exciting to get to fly the ship. Michael Heidemann, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you too, Carm.
Best thing you did today, please?
Oh, the best thing I did was...
It's always a tough one, I know.
Was pull audio for the debates, learning so much about our country.
Yeah, what'd you learn?
I learned that there's a lot of interesting people out there with a lot of interesting ideas.
You are hard to nail down, Michael Heidemann. What was the most interesting person, the most interesting thing?
Well, Andrew Yang said something very interesting that I think that you'll probably talk a little bit later with Paul about.
Paul Lisnick?
Yes.
WGN-TV?
But besides that, I did make chicken pasta, and it was darn good.
Chicken pasta?
Mm-hmm. With Frank's hot sauce.
With Frank's hot sauce.
That was my highlight.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Sounds like a good day.
How about you, Carm? What was your best part of your day?
Best part of my day? Brought in Papa Fred today. Podcast. Sat down. Me, my two brothers... Talk to the 93-year-old for a good 2 hours.
That's really important. Man, awesome.
Yeah, you know, I just want to make sure we got it all on record. Hope he lives another 10 years, but if he doesn't, let's get this thing documented.
Now, of all the interviews you've done, was this the hardest?
He's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Dad, what's your favorite thing about your son? I love all my sons. No. Give me something favorite. Like, what do you really love about me? You're a great guy. No. I want like a really heartfelt moment here. Like, you know, I just really love how you are communicating with people on WGN Radio. That's not, you wouldn't say that. Speaking of some communicators, by the way, and Paul Lisnick's coming up in a second. I was just watching the debate. I don't know if anybody did help themselves or hurt themselves tonight. Joe Biden having his teeth fall out wasn't really great. I mean, they didn't fall out, but it seemed like he had to just readjust in the moment, which is a little bit awkward. So we'll talk to Paul in about 3 minutes. But just some great communicators who are being honored tomorrow. John Williams is going to be on the show tonight at 11 o'clock. Or after the 11 o'clock news specifically, for those of you who are setting your timer. King John, the native of Joliet, going into the WGN Radio Walk of Fame, along with Andrea Darlis, who Andrea and I have done shows together. Andrea and I share the same birthday. Andrea and I spent a bunch of time in the morning with Steve Cochran and at night around various folks throughout the years going in. And Marlene Wells, who I'm sure people who have been listening to the station have heard a lot about Marlene. But Marlene Wells is maybe the person that I fear the most at the radio station. Marlene, is there any way that I could possibly get tickets to that Northwestern Chicago State game? No! Get out of here, Carmen. Or it's the sweetest yes, Mark. You can. The person that I... perhaps fear the most, and also just appreciate, because she's been here for so long. It's like is the very fabric on so many levels of WGN. Marlene like knows where all the bodies are buried and whatnot. I can't wait to see her be honored, because she's always taking care of everybody here. So to actually have to see her sit and people honor her, I think is just a beautiful thing. 10-pin tattler Sam Weinstein was both the moniker, as they write here, of host of and Chicago native Sam Weinstein, and the name of his show, once the longest-running radio program with one host. Show debuted on WCFL August 24th, 1935, as a 15-minute program that included news from the bowling world and a live interview with a prominent bowler. That's kind of amazing in itself, right? 1966, the show moves to WGN Radio to air Saturday nights as a 5-minute program. That's what I should be saying to Matt. Just give me 5 minutes. Give me my own show, 5 minutes. 1:55, 2 a.m. Nick D can go to the bathroom. I'll come in, do a great 5 minutes. What do you think?
That's a great idea.
And then the next thing you know, I'll be in the Hall of Fame at in 50 years. I mean, I'll only be like 96.
Could
down.
You come up with like the thought of coming up with hot bowling topics every week, though?
Why? I don't know.
That's a feat in itself.
I'll do it for tennis and or ping pong. Mm-hmm. Maybe Bill Leff will be my co-host. Weinstein had become hooked on bowling as a 17-year-old once said, quote, "I thought bowling deserved more publicity than it was getting." That is a man who loved something, put it out there, and somehow, some way, he ended up in the Walk of Fame.
That's right.
Way to go, 10-pin. That's awesome. 10-pin Tadler. All right, so John will be coming up here at 11 o'clock, but I just wanted to get... I mean, it's not every day that I walk in here, and there's tables set up, and everything's ready for the big day tomorrow. Also, I don't know if upper management is listening, and I don't know if you had the same experience that I had, but when I walked in the building tonight... It smelled like there was 10 horses who all had to do their thing at the same time, did it in the lobby, and then left. Did you experience what I experienced?
Yes, it hit me like a wave crashing in my face, and I was confused because I was like, is it just me? Am I smelling? Is this how it always smells?
I've never smelled anything that bad.
That was rank
in my WGN life. All right, let's find out what Paul Liznick, WGN TV, thinks about the debate tonight. We'll do that in 2 minutes. 720 WGN. Mark Harmon with you tonight. Good to be here. 1020. Let's bring in Paul Liznick, WGN TV. Been dominating on the political scene since about 2008, if not longer. It's 2008 at WGN TV. Paul, thanks for taking time tonight. I really appreciate it. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark, it's a pleasure. It just makes you know that we're in campaign season already.
We are most definitely in campaign season. Who did you think won tonight, Paul, if anyone?
Well, the easier question up front is perhaps to answer who may have lost tonight.
Okay.
Because the striking moment for me was really Julian Castro, who took a low blow at Joe Biden, going after his memory, whatever, for something that Biden had said was backing up on. Actually, Biden did not say. It had to do with buying into health care, and Biden did not say what Castro said. But I think it just, you know, this was a night when clearly all these candidates had been told, you better respect Barack Obama, you better not attack the programs of Barack Obama, and you better respect each other, and the mission is to go after President Trump. And some folks violated that. I think Castro did it the worst, and I think he's going to pay a price for that one.
So, okay, so let's just say that Castro is out. This has been a theme, though. Let's attack Joe Biden. Let's attack what he's done for women's rights. Let's attack what he's done as far as, let's go back to, while you didn't authorize the buses the way you should have back in the day. I mean, there's been a lot of attacks at Joe. And to me, it's like you're almost tearing down your own. There's got to be a better way about it. But that's not, I guess it's gloves are off and this is the way we're going to do it.
Well, but see, what you're saying is exactly the point, which is there were some attacks on Joe tonight, but they were more respectful.
Yeah.
They were more polite. In fact, at one point, Kamala Harris, when Joe Biden was saying that, you know, something couldn't be done a certain way, she said, Joe, maybe we ought to be saying, yes, we can, of course, a play on President Obama's phrase from 8 years ago, or 10 years ago. So, you know, the bottom line was there were some attacks on him, but with the exception of Castro, they were much more respectful. I think the breakout moments tonight, you go back to your question, who won? Biden may have won because he didn't lose. He appeared strong tonight. A couple of sketchy moments, but basically he really didn't suffer too much. And I think Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren held their own, especially Elizabeth Sanders, very, very strongly so. But I think the breakout moments tonight, because that's what folks are going to be talking about tomorrow. Who broke out? Who made a name? And I think that Beto O'Rourke, believe it or not, he had moments tonight. He found himself. He found his mission in the world of gun safety issues and immigration as well, but especially guns. Cory Booker had some good moments, and Amy Klobuchar had some good moments. So, and Pete Buttigieg, I'm going to throw him in there too. So those folks, will the game change? Will the polls start really, you know, going up and down as a result of this? No. I don't think you're going to see much change, but I think in the short term, you're going to see Beto get a little bit of a bump, and I think you may see the other ones I just mentioned get a bump too.
Let's just play for people who missed it. This was the moment with Julian Castro and Joe Biden real fast.
Sure. Also, I want to recognize the work that Bernie has done on this. And of course, we owe a debt of gratitude to President Barack Obama. Of course, I also work for President Obama, Vice President Biden, and I know that the problem with your plan is that it leaves 10 million people uncovered. Now, on the last debate stage in Detroit, you said that wasn't true when Senator Harris brought that up. There was a fact check of that, and they said that was true. You know, I grew up with a grandmother who had type 2 diabetes, and I watched her condition get worse and worse. But that whole time, she had Medicare. I want every single American family to have a strong Medicare plan available. If they choose to hold on to strong, solid private health insurance, I believe they should be able to do that. But the difference between what I support and what you support, Vice President Biden, is that you require them to opt in. And I would not require them to opt in. They would automatically be enrolled. They wouldn't have to buy in. That's a big difference, because Barack Obama's vision was not to leave 10 million people uncovered. He wanted every single person in this country covered. My plan would do that. Your plan would not.
They do not have to buy in. They do not have to buy in.
You just said that. You just said that 2 minutes ago. You just said 2 minutes ago that they would have to buy in. You said they would have to buy in.
To buy in. If she qualifies for Medicaid,
are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago?
Be in for it.
So there it is. Are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago? Not great for him right there. Is your take, Paul?
No, Mark, and you know what? He starts off respectful, certainly respectful enough. And by the way, as I said, that Biden did not say 2 minutes earlier that you have to buy in. That's not what he said. So Castro was as wrong about that. But again, you saw that, you heard the crowd reaction.
Yeah.
It was just a low blow. There are ways he could have accomplished what he wanted. They all have to be going after the front runner. But I think he didn't do it in a proper way. And of course, it responded somewhere around then with Amy Klobuchar saying a house divided against itself cannot stand. Amy reminding everybody, hey, look, guys, you know, and there were some, from time to time, some of the Democrats said, we all basically think the same thing, so let's not forget that. Probably one of the great moments, by the way, was Senator Kamala Harris's opening statement, when she said, I have a special message for one guy, President Trump. She went on to go after the president for a while and said, and now, President Trump, go back to watching Fox News. That will be a moment you will see played, I think, in the days ahead.
Yeah, she's tweeting after the debate here, Paul, saying that there was not one question I had about abortion or reproductive rights. Why do you think that was? Or is that, and was that a miss?
Well, there's some other things. I mean, the Brady Amendment and stuff, which especially in Texas, which Bernie Sanders has gone against. So there certainly were other topics that they could have gone on. Obviously, ABC, it's their call on what they wanted to focus in on. You know, you did get, Mark, an extra hour tonight. 10 candidates with 3 hours. Yeah. It still wasn't enough. It just wasn't. And you know, you still had several candidates who didn't get to talk very much. Not that the answer is to give them 4 hours, because you know this is a pretty trying exercise for these folks, but there's just too many people in this race right now. And here's the interesting thing. Some people are saying, well, okay, at least we're down from, you know, 20 plus to 10. That's good. Well, you're not. Because, first of all, several people did not drop out of the race. They just didn't make it in the debate. But the way that the Democratic Party, Tom Perez, and the Democratic National Council has basically put things together, the same 10 people here are already qualified for the October debate, and now more people. In fact, Tom Steyer, he's already qualified. Looks like Tulsi Gabbard may be qualified. So you may actually, in October, be back to two nights of debates with, you know, half the number of candidates on each night. Yeah. What direction are they going in? They got to think twice.
Yeah. Paul Lizak, WGN TV. One more before you go here. I guess first off, your number one takeaway is that nobody really stood out tonight and everybody did fine. But Julian Castro maybe took himself out of the race. Is that fair enough?
It's pretty close. I think there will be a few people who will get a bump, but I don't think anybody's going to sufficiently challenge Joe Biden in the lead or pull Elizabeth Warren down much.
Fair enough. And this is kind of a different angle on it, but I was confused. Why are we talking about teachers for seemingly a half an hour? Everybody agrees that teachers should get paid more. I just didn't understand why that was such a focal point tonight. That seemed like too easy of a topic to hit. Yes, teachers should get paid more. We need to do better with our public schools.
Look, I don't disagree. I mean, if I was writing the questions, I probably would have gone something a little more maybe international, maybe North Korea relations, maybe Israeli relations. There are things in the news these days that certainly could have been a focus. Education is a big topic, certainly among Democrats. But once again, it's a really good question to ask the ABC team. They decided to put the half an hour there. I agree with you, Mark. I'm not sure I would have done the same, but it gave the candidates a chance. For me, that was almost kind of a lull moment. You know, people want to hear about guns. They want to hear about health care. Those are the critical issues on people's agenda. Education is important, but probably other things they could have done.
Yeah. Paul, thanks for taking the time, man. I always appreciate your time.
My pleasure. By the way, can I give a quick plug to my new book called Assume Guilt? It's a fiction, political fiction book about Illinois corruption. Hey, since we're talking politics, I wanted to mention it.
Where can you pick that up, Paul?
Oh, bookstores, Amazon, anywhere you want. My, yeah, it's out there.
And what's it called again?
Assume Guilt. Assume Guilt. My first fiction work.
Congratulations, Paul. That's awesome. Good for you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Assume Guilt, the book. Paul, thank you very much.
Mark, my pleasure.
Paul Lisnick, WGN-TV. Let's do a quick timeout. And then in studio, we're going to talk to Desmond Clark, the number two all-time leading receiver at the tight end position for your Chicago Bears. He's in studio with us tonight on 720 WGN.
We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Looking for the corner, thrown behind. The receiver again, that's a touchdown! Under pressure, this time he throws a touchdown!
It's wide open, touchdown! Desmond Clark!
Perfection!
Joining Mark Carmen and friends tonight, it's a former beloved Chicago Bear, a member of the most recent Bears Super Bowl team, former Bears tight end, number 88, Desmond Clark.
That's right. Des Clark is in studio. Talk a little football here. You like that open?
I love that open.
That's kind of...
That was a little surprise for me there.
That was Ernie Skadden beating the deadline to get that done today.
Yeah, yeah, because we just, just confirmed it a few hours ago.
Yeah, like 5:30. Hey, can you
come on by?
Yeah, and we're gonna do these. We're gonna do this as the season moves along. Great to see you.
Yeah.
And are we on Facebook Live too right now?
We're on Facebook Live right now. We got a lot of people.
This is big time.
Doing some. I got my lady on there. That's all that matters. I have her on there.
You want to say give a personal shout out?
Yeah, personal shout out to my lovely lady, Miss Maria Clark.
Aw, so, Maria Clark is watching?
Oh, yes, she is.
That's love right there. It's
all love.
How long have y'all been together now?
We've been together since 2011.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, so,
yeah.
I mean, you're getting close to a decade here.
We are.
Every day is bliss, right?
That just means that we're getting old, right?
No.
Or getting better.
Getting better.
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, well, here, let's talk about this football team. Speaking of getting better or not getting better. We'll start with the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And your thoughts on Mitchell Trubisky week one, which was ugly against Green Bay. How concerned should Bears fans be, Des Clark?
Well, let's just start off and just call it what it was. It was a pathetic performance from our Bears on the offensive side of the ball. But pump your brakes.
Yeah.
You know, you see all of this stuff all over social media. Everybody's killing Mitch right now. They see the other quarterbacks playing well. But I seen this as their first preseason game. Not an excuse, because I believe that they should have played a little bit in the preseason and they wouldn't have been so bad this first game. So it's not an excuse, but it's the reason. And it is what it is. It takes a while for an offense to click, because it's not like defense. It's timing. The receivers have to be in the right place. The offensive linemen have to fight for another 2 to 3 seconds, because in practice, those guys, they're stopping at a certain point. And to get all of that timing on the offensive side of the ball, you need real live action. And that was their first real live action the whole year. So before we jump off the bridge like some people around Chicago is ready to do and toss Mitch Trubisky right along with them.
Yeah.
Give it some time, because it takes time for offense to gel.
All right. 312-981-7200, by the way, if you want to ask Des a question, feel free. He'll be with us till 11 o'clock tonight. There's this debate in Chicago about Trubisky that's, well, what is he? We're not sure. We can't figure it out. We need to see 3 more games, 5 more games. He needs to be in the system a little bit longer.
That sounds familiar.
And so right. And then I'm thinking about you. You play with a guy by the name of Rex Grossman, and for a while we're trying to figure out, well, what is he?
Mm-hmm.
And he was good enough to take you guys to a Super Bowl. However, you had a phenomenal defense, and which is sort of similar to today. And then you play with this guy, I forget his name, Jay Cutler. Right.
For what, 7, 8 years, it was same thing,
right. And so I'm sitting there like, look, we've seen this show in Chicago our whole lives. We should know exactly what he is, which is an average quarterback who has the ability to play above average for a game or two, and then he also has the ability to go the other way and be really bad. And so I don't see any...
He's the typical good Chicago quarterback.
And
Yes. So
or not good Chicago quarterback.
Well, I think we've had good quarterbacks here.
We have.
Rex was a good quarterback.
Really?
He wasn't great. He had his moments. Rex, don't talk about my quarterback over there, Mark.
Okay, okay.
Rex, my guy now.
Okay.
Rex, my guy.
I appreciate that loyalty.
My favorite quarterback that I ever played with.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay,
I didn't say he was the best.
I heard
he was my favorite.
Okay.
Because Rex was just a guy, you know? You just like, that's Rex.
Right, so you appreciated him.
I appreciated Rex out of, I played with a lot of good quarterbacks, played with a lot of cool quarterbacks. Rex was the guy that I like playing with the most. I'm not sure how many other people will say that, but as far as I'm concerned, yeah, Rex, my guy.
Well, I've never heard when I talk to you guys, not you know back then covered the team different, but now afterwards, I haven't heard a lot of glowing words for six. That's just me.
Well, I mean,
from yourself and some, and I don't want to put you in there, but from others,
I mean, we're on the radio, and you got to keep it real, right?
Yeah,
you know, I'll tell people Jay wasn't my favorite guy on the team, but I will say this about Jay: out of all the quarterbacks that I played with,
okay,
if I was going to have a bar fight and I had to pick one of my quarterbacks, Jay's going in with me.
Wow,
he's going in with me because Jay's tough, man, Jay's a great athlete. Good quarterback, but he lacks something in the personal human leadership department.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll just leave it at that. We'll keep it nice.
You wouldn't want Josh McCown in there?
I didn't play with Josh.
Okay. All right. I get my ears missed.
Now, if I wanted to be in a good mood and be happy and smiling, and I think Josh would have been my guy just from what I know of him because he was that – feel-good guy. He kept everybody up, kept everybody motivated and positive.
Salt of the earth.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas Jay is not, I wouldn't... Okay.
Jay was salty.
Yeah. And back to Trubisky, I think he is well-liked in there.
Right.
I think those guys appreciate who he is and know that he's going to work incredibly hard to be as good as he can possibly be, but whatever that ceiling is, I personally don't think it's very high. And you're never going to hear Matt Nagy say anything like that because what would be the point? But I do think they have to, I don't know if you want to call it dumb it down or whatever they got to do, but they got to realize that, you know, I don't see him taking off to a level where he's ever going to carry this team.
Right. Well, in Chicago, quarterbacks never carry the team. And I think everybody wants to see that. I think when we went from Lovey to the next coach, I'm forgetting his name.
Dick Duran?
No, Dick Duran was before
Lovey. I'm going backwards.
Yeah.
So then we're going to Mark Trestman.
When Mark Trestman got here, people thought, okay, it's an offensive system now, and the offense is getting ready to take the lead over the defense. Same thing is happening again right now, but the difference is I think we have a real competent head coach. Where Trestman, I think he lacked leadership as a head coach. But this is Chicago. Defense is always going to be number one. Yeah. And that's coming from an offensive player.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like I think we got to get past that at some point here. That's the way it's been. Should they have run the ball more in week one?
Not only should they have run the ball more. Okay, so Cordero Patterson, right?
Yes, what was that?
I think he's a great athlete.
Sure.
And I've been saying this all preseason. Well, in the preseason, I didn't see a place for him on the roster. And I still don't know how he made the team, even though he's a great athlete, good player, great return guy, okay receiver. But I said if he's going to make the team, he's going to be the fifth, sixth receiver. You keep that position for a young person, for a young receiver. So where does he fit in? Then I heard this, he's going to play running back. Oh, I was like, BS. He's never going to play running back. And when I seen him in the game, third and two, critical moment of the game, and they hand him the ball, when you got three competent running backs, I had to sit back and I had to question Nagy. Okay, I heard this a lot last year about him trying to be too cute. I started asking myself, is he trying to be too cute now? Why would you run a receiver on third and two?
See, and I start to wonder, do you want to prove yourself as the smartest guy in the room? And I'd say, and sometimes I have the same questions with Ryan Pace.
Mm-hmm.
Because, let's line up the resumes. Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes.
Well, take Patrick Mahomes out of it.
Okay, fine.
We're looking at Patrick Mahomes because he won the MVP.
Well,
Patrick Mahomes was not one of the top guys in that draft.
But he was throwing for 800-plus yards at Texas Tech in the game.
But it was Texas Tech.
Right, but
everybody throws for 800 yards a game at Texas Tech.
Right, but the other guy was playing for North Carolina and started 13 games, so that's why I think you can bring – but okay, fine. To your point,
mm-hmm.
we got the two-time college player of the year
mm-hmm.
leading Clemson to a national championship, and then we've got the kid who's played 13 games.
Right.
And so if you're going to draft that guy, to me, it's you're just trying to show that you're perhaps smarter than everybody there, and you get yourself in trouble when you do that stuff.
Well, and so here's the thing with that. You can always go at a safe pick, right? The safe pick would have been Watson.
Yeah.
I mean, he outplayed the Alabama two times. He was the best player on the field. So I think everybody knew that he was going to be at least a competent starting quarterback, right?
Sure.
So you can go at the safe bet, or you can go and like you're saying, well, we see something different. We see something that maybe everybody don't see. And now with Mitch, that's not to say that he wasn't high up on other people's draft board. He was up there. But now that Deshaun Watson is doing what he's doing, everybody can look back now and have those questions. So Mitch wasn't a guy that was bottom first round. On most draft boards, he was either one or two, at the lowest, probably the third quarterback. So
that's all true. That's right. All true. So it's not as like he's picking somebody completely out of the blue. I get it.
Right.
But I still think if you're picking Trubisky there, you are trying to sort of outsmart yourself. I don't when if you're
I agree with you. By the way,
yeah.
I said this then, and I don't want people to start throwing all kind of hate at me, saying, oh, man, we're tired of this argument. During that draft, I was surprised that they didn't go with Deshaun Watson just because of his resume.
Yeah. People texting in, by the way, asking your thoughts on Lovie as a head coach on the college level.
I haven't seen much of Lovie on the college level. It's hard to watch Illinois football, man. And I love Lovie to death. I still don't know how I feel about the beard.
Yeah, he doesn't need to do that.
Yeah, because Levy was clean shaven when he was here, man. So it was just that different look. I seen him at the Hall of Fame, and I was like, that's the beard that they're talking about.
Yeah.
And so, it's hard for me to watch Illinois football. I mean, I grew up in the greatest state for high school football and some great college football back in my day of the state of Florida. And again, people from Illinois, don't hate me. It's a fact. It's better football coming out of Florida.
I don't think anybody would argue that. That would be preposterous.
Yes.
But if Lovie was kind of doing something down there, you'd see him a little bit more. He's scuffling. As far as the Lovie thing goes,
mm-hmm.
when you're successful on the NFL level, you've gone to Super Bowl, you made a ton of dough. Now you're going to go and you're going to coach in college. And you're going to have the hunger to go and recruit 18, 17, 16-year-old kids.
I could see Lovie doing that.
Really?
Though. Yeah. And you got to think about – and I think Lovie is a guy who has a lot of pride about himself. He walks with his chest puffed out in a good way. Not in an arrogant way, in a confident way. And I believe Lovie is the type of guy that says, I'm a head coach. I'm only a head I made it to that top of the ladder. I'm only a head coach. And if I can't be a head coach anymore, then maybe it's time for me to give it up. And think about how it happened to him in Tampa also. That wasn't the right way to handle that situation by the Glazer family. And so when he left there, I just think he had the itch to continue being a head coach. And that was probably the best and first opportunity that came his way.
And even before he went to Tampa, look, I mean, that was a 10-6 Bears team that left. And It did not go better once everybody wanted, a lot of people wanted Lovey out of here, and they were calling it for a long time. They got what they wanted, yes. And it did not get better.
And we just had our first winning season since he's left. So thank you, everybody who wanted Lovey to be out of here.
There it is. Yeah. There it is. Yeah. All right, let's do a quick timeout here. We'll talk about the defense coming on back here, get you ready for the Bears. And what does Dez think about the matchup with Vic Fangio, now the head coach of Denver? We'll do that coming back, 720 WGN. Number 88, Des Clark in studio with us here, 720 WGN. Last time the Bears played in the Super Bowl, you were there, my friend.
I was there, and I wasn't a spectator.
And you got to, what was it, just, you, how often do you think about that? I'm running out onto the field, even though it rained, but you're playing in the Super Bowl.
One of the most amazing experiences in my lifetime, because as a kid, you watch the Super Bowl, you don't miss the Super Bowl. I didn't miss the Super Bowl until after I lost the Super Bowl, and then I couldn't watch the Super Bowl for a few years. But just knowing that the entire world is watching you, and I got a chance to play it in my home state, so I had my family down there. Man, unbelievable feeling.
Who was your football hero growing up?
So I had a few. My favorite team at the time was Tampa Bay, because I lived in Lakeland, Florida, so wasn't a whole lot of heroes to be had there in Tampa with the Yuccaneers, as they called them back at the old sombrero.
I loved the old sombrero.
Yeah, I did too.
You are looking live at Buccaneer Stadium. Give me some Brent Musburger for a noon kickoff, and there'd be like three people in the stands. Anyway, go ahead.
Really, I had a few players. Tony Dorsett was one of them.
Okay.
I love Randall Cunningham. Jerry Rice was my guy, and Walter Payton. Those four people. I mean, when I'm doing motivational speaking and I'm talking about when I was dreaming about being a football player, I talk about those four people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you realize that you were good enough to do it?
My junior year in college.
Okay.
After my junior year in college, I was all ACC and had led the conference in catches, and maybe a shot. And then I petitioned the NFL to see where my draft stock would be, and it was like fifth round to free agent. And I was like, okay, I'll take that. Yeah.
It's underrated, by the way. I mean, you're number two all time catching the football for the Bears at the tight end position.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not nothing right there.
Well, you know what? Longevity.
Yeah.
Just being available. And yeah, when they throw the ball, I catch it,
which is a key component to being a good tight end. All right, here, Matt Nagy versus Vic Fangio. Mm-hmm. I'm reading today that Matt is saying we have completely changed the playbook, so Vic won't know what's coming. I don't think this is possible. I don't know if that's tongue in cheek or whatever, but who has the edge in a situation like that where Vic's leaving, but he certainly knows what's going on in Chicago?
The defense. Early in the year, the defense. There's no way that Matt Nagy has a brand new playbook that he's breaking out for this game, that the whole entire offense has to learn. He has some wrinkles, I'm sure.
Right.
But an entire new playbook, I love you, Matt, but I got to call you out on this one. You're lying to us.
You got a prediction? Who do we think? Who's winning on Sunday?
I'm going to go with the Bears. I think they're embarrassed from the last performance. The offense is.
For sure.
The defense is going to do what the defense do every game. But I think the offense is embarrassing, and they want to come out and have a good showing. And I believe to do that, we got to get Montgomery more carries. We got to get him more carries.
And maybe we can get Tariq Cohen the football too.
And Tariq Cohen. I mean, he's that change-up guy. But to consistently – you know how Howard at the end of last year – how he became the guy, but Tariq Cohen was still involved. I believe we need to have that mixture that we had at the end of the year last year with Howard and Tariq, but this year with our rookie Montgomery and Tariq.
Des, great to see you. We'll do this again next week.
Always.
Thanks for coming down.
Yes, sir.
Get some rest.
I will.
Bears by 10. All right, quick time out. We'll do news, and then we'll salute John Williams, who's going to the Walk of Fame tomorrow, 720 WGN. 11:07. Hope you had a great day today, 720 WGN. Tomorrow, a big day around these parts as John Williams and Andrea Darlis and Tenpin Tatler and Marlene Wells all going into the WGN Radio Walk of Fame. King John taking a moment for us tonight. Is this past your bedtime?
Totally. I'm only here for you, Carm.
I felt bad texting you and asking you, but you know, you're going to the Hall of Fame, man. Like Walk of Fame, that's a big deal. So I wanted to say
Carmen on my phone. I saw this thing. He goes, Mark Harmon's calling. Oh, good. We're going to play tennis. No, it's not that.
Yeah, well, we can do that too. But are you going to sleep tonight, John? How are you feeling over there?
I'm pretty good. You know what? It's a nice thing. It's nice of you to call, Mark. I'm flattered, and this is unnecessary, but there are a few people have noticed this, and it's like a bigger deal than I thought it was going to be. A buddy of mine that I was in college with at Southern Illinois at Carbondale a few years ago, who was a roommate of mine, and when I had my first internship on WGN my junior year of college, so it was that summer, and I wanted to be a broadcaster someday, and I was lucky enough to get an internship here, and a buddy of mine in college had an internship that year at WBBM. We're just a couple of knuckleheads. And he flew in from his job in Miami. He's now a videographer at a TV station in Miami. And he said, you know, I was there when you were just a dum-dum like me. And so he's sitting in my living room right now, and we're just kind of sharing old stories about working in the business.
So how did you go, King John, from intern at WGN to rise yourself up to going into the Walk of Fame? Like, let's not go that far, but how did you go from intern to you have your own talk show?
Yeah, how did I do that? You know, it's not like there was a plan, Carm. It's just like, kind of like you. You say, hey, what have you got? I'll do that. And you always have something you know, what's your ultimate goal? I knew I always thought it would be fun to do a talk show, and where better to do it than here, but the first thing was just go get a degree in broadcasting in Carbondale at SIU and then go get a job. So I had my first job out of college was at WSPY in Plano, uh-huh. Sandwich Plano, Yorkville, you know, in the western, far western exurbs.
Yep.
And just kind of was always working in the business, hoping that someday that would happen. And eventually, you know, one job led to another. And you were always kind of, you had an eye on the prize, but there was no path, you know. You just kind of hung in there. That's what you got to do.
That's certainly part of it. What happened when they gave you the call, King John? Hey, John, it's Todd Manley. I don't know who called you. I'm assuming it was Todd and gave you the news. What was that conversation like?
Well, you remember, I think the reason you're not playing tennis with me these days is because you're afraid I'm going to detach my other retina.
No, that's not true. This is not an age thing. You're in the prime of your life, my friend.
I think I am. Actually, I'm as proud of the radio that we're doing on this radio station now as I've ever been. So I'll take that. But the day that my retina detached same day that Todd Manley called me to say, hey, we're going to give you guess what? I've got good news. I said, well, that's funny. I have news for you. He goes, you're going to go in the station's Hall of Fame. I said, great. I'm on my way to the hospital. My retina just detached. So I didn't have that big, like, oh, wow, thank you, awesome moment, because I had to rush to the hospital. It's a long story, but my retina detached, and you got to run to the hospital and get it fixed. And I did, and it's all fine. I'm good. But it was just the timing couldn't have been weirder, right? So tomorrow will finally be a chance for me to go, oh, you know, to appreciate it, because it really is awesome.
Yeah. I forgot about that part of the story. I remember it now at the time. Like, you were, that was not a comfortable day for you, King John.
No, it was not a comfortable day for you, because then about a week later, you walk into my office. You were, you know, we bump into each other a lot, and you look at me like, okay, I'm going to look, but I'm not going to look. I mean, if I was a big-breasted woman and, you know, like you go, oh, what do you know? I'm not going to look. You were doing the same thing with my eye. You were going like, oh, wow, I want to check that out, but I don't know if I really want to look like I'm looking. You were looking at my eye. And when they do a surgery like that, you don't notice. There's no scar, but it's kind of weird, isn't it? You were looking at me kind of funny that day.
Well, I I'm sure that is exactly true. It's kind of how I feel like all the time. Like, don't look, I yes do. It, especially, you know, if something.
But that was the deal. And so I'm fine and I'm good. And hopefully yeah. I've got 75 more good years at the radio station. But, you know, and can I just tell you another thing, Carm? Because when a few of my friends have said, wow, you've had a weird career because for a while you were at WGN in Chicago, and then you went to WCCO in Minneapolis.
Right.
This has been my career path, and that's a great station, too. And I was at WCCO for two different four-year stints. And I've had a couple of stints at WGN, too. And sometimes I was working at both places, you know, kind of simulcasting one show from one place and the other show from the other place. Anyway.
That was the weirdest part time, by the way. I was like, how in the world is he pulling that off? It's enough to do one show in one city. You were doing two shows in two different cities. That's big time. But go ahead.
Well, and it wasn't simulcasting either because I would do one full three-hour show and then one full three-hour show. I mean, when I was doing it from Minneapolis in my basement, one of my favorite times on WGN was when I would be wrapping up my show and I would be handing it off to you guys. And it wasn't you and Harry. Who was it? It was you and it wasn't Adam. It was somebody else. And we were just kind of kibitz going down the line from my place in Minneapolis to you guys in Chicago.
Oh, we're talking about Saturdays when it was me and Adam and maybe Connor was there, Jared Payton. Okay.
I think it was Connor.
Yeah.
And it was, you guys were just so nice to me and you made me feel like even though I was in Minneapolis and still trying to keep my foot in Chicago, you guys really made me feel like I was still part of the group because my career was going back and forth between these two stations and I really wanted to stay in Chicago. And you were a voice for me up there that still I connected with. Well, it was really important to me.
You playing Mark Knobler for me there, Michael Heineman?
I know what you like, Mark. it's a good place to explore Knopfler when I'm with you.
He's so good. Doesn't he just make you feel good? I saw him. We went up to the Riverside Theater in Milwaukee and saw him on Saturday night, whenever that was, 2 weeks ago, last week, I don't even remember. And then saw him at the Chicago Theater. Say one thing about the Mark Knopfler crowd. They ain't young. I am one of the more youthful characters there, and I'm not 22 anymore.
They're seasoned.
That's right. They're a seasoned crew, and he gave the wave afterwards. I don't know. I'd like to see him play one more time before this tour's over. Maybe I'll go to New York and see him at Madison Square Garden on September 25th. All right, we got to let me pay off the tease here. 11:37. Hope everybody had a great day. Mark Harmon with you till 1 in the morning. Michael Heideman producing. Vic Vaughn is doing the news. Hey Vic, you're a professional guy over there, but you like to have some fun too. Do you watch the Bachelor?
I've never been into that show. No.
Okay, Michael Heideman, do you watch The Bachelor?
I do not.
Okay, this particular, so that makes three of us that do not watch The Bachelor, which might make this topic a tad bit challenging. Let me start it again. Vic, have you literally never seen a Bachelor episode in your life?
That is not true. I have seen them, you know, flipping through channels or whatever, but I've never sat down and watched an episode.
Okay.
You know, as soon as I see it, I keep going.
Will you accept this rose? That type of thing?
Yeah, I'm aware of how it works. Yeah.
Okay.
So I've seen one of those scenes.
All right, you're qualified.
Yeah.
Will you accept this rose? Michael Heideman, you know about this situation, right? Will you accept this rose? Everybody makes out with everybody, and then one person gets to keep going on the whole thing?
Oh, yeah. By far, if I'm flipping around the channels, I'll stop every once in a while. I mean, I've had girlfriends who've loved that show, and I think that just the fanfare over the last, 10 years, I feel like I could piece together the show, yeah.
Okay, now the reason I'm bringing this up, just for the record, as Phil Rosenthal was writing in today's Chicago Tribune, he writes, for Cubs fans, the season finale of ABC's Bachelor in Paradise means paradise lost, or at least displaced. The Cubs and Cincinnati Reds game this coming Tuesday 7:05 first pitch, Wrigley Field. The Cubs are battling for the playoffs. This is a huge game. Joe Maddon's career as a manager is on the line. Anthony Rizzo's quest for a second World Series. Chris Bryant. Javi Baez is hurt, but it matters to him too. Big game with the Reds, Tuesday night, 7:05. But not big enough for ABC7, who is bumping the Cubs to the rebranded CW26, Channel 26. A move bound to confuse, as Rosenthal writes, even some diligent viewers. You know, they're on WGN for five more times. They're on NBC Sports Chicago. They're on Channel 7. Oh yeah, why can't I find it on GN or NBC Sports? Oh yeah, they're on Channel 7 tonight. You go to Channel 7, they're not there. People are not gonna know where in the hell the Cubs game is. They're gonna think it was rained out even if it's sunny on Tuesday.
This is the world we live in now, Mark.
I guess. And
so there's nowhere to watch the game on TV?
No, they're putting it on Channel 26. They're farming it out.
Oh, they're moving it. Okay.
So the 26, wow. Man. Do we even get Channel 26 here? I mean, I don't even know if that exists on the old televisions at WGN Radio.
You need the bunny ears and like the tinfoil hat to get that channel, I think.
Yeah. So they are prioritizing the season finale of Bachelor in Paradise.
Will you marry me?
Absolutely.
Over the very fabric of this city. I mean, this is a sports town. Cubs, Sox, Blackhawks, Bulls, Bears. And fine, maybe at the end of the day, it's a Bears town. But come on, man, this is the Chicago Cubs. This is a race for the playoffs, and they're choosing the Bachelor in Paradise.
Before you criticize them too much, I will say this.
Yeah?
In hindsight, I would have rather watched an episode of The Bachelor, especially the finale, rather than the Bears-Packers debacle.
Ooh. Okay, now we're going Bears-Packers. I just got a question here. 312-981-7200. This seems very important to me. Would you rather watch the Cub game on Tuesday night versus Cincinnati in a battle for the playoffs? We're tied with the Brewers for the second wild card, four games behind the division-leading St. Louis Cardinals. Or would you rather watch Bachelor in Paradise? I want to know here if I'm the only one, because I got to tell you something. If this was happening in St. Louis, home of the Cardinals, where they claim to be the best baseball fans on the planet.
Protests.
They wouldn't be knocking off the Cardinals for Bachelor in Paradise. I don't think they would. If this was New York and it was a big Yankees game, I don't think they're knocking off the Yankees for Bachelor in Paradise. If this was Boston and if it was the Red Sox, you telling me the Red Sox fans would be like, yeah, I'd rather watch Bachelor in Paradise. No. No, that would not happen. Now, you know where that would happen? San Diego, Arizona, Tampa Bay. Those places, they would do that. Because those baseball teams and that, those are not sports towns. But this is wrong. This is flat out. I don't care if the ratings would be better for Bachelor in Paradise. There is an integrity to what this city is about here. And I am offended, this will not stand. I would like to start a movement right here. And I know, by the way, that we are home of the Chicago White Sox, and we are damn proud of it. And I think the next World Series in this town is coming from the South Side. It's my opinion. But I'm not going to sit here and not call out what is and what is wrong. And we try to hit the serious topics on this show, and you're going Bachelor in Paradise over a baseball game that's where you're trying to get to the playoffs. Like, look, if they were 30 games up the track, okay, give me some Bachelor in Paradise. But that's not the case right here. 312-981-7200. I mean, come on, man. Text line from the 219. This is a new text line. I'm getting all confused as to what's going on here.
It's supposed to be better than the old text line.
I can't. I'm going to the confusing. Top, but the top is the bottom, and the bottom is the top. People are texting in Cubs. Let me get Trucker Rich on here, 312-981-7200. Trucker, you with me, or do you want to watch Bachelor in Paradise?
I think it's just an omen of what's coming. I mean, after all, you know, the Cubs abandoned WGN Radio. They abandoned WGN TV. They're going to start their own networks. They can, you know, whatever they call it. You know, I'm not going to get it because I'm not going to pay it extra on my satellite bill to watch it if it's even available.
The Marquee Sports Network, you're not in, Trucker Rich?
Nope.
Okay.
I mean, so you think, when I was in the Army back in the 70s, GN had the Superstation.
Uh-huh.
And you would not believe how many people were Cubs fans that were in my unit down in Georgia because,
right, you know, they came home from school and the Cubs were on.
Right. You know, so, yeah, GN and the Bozos show, I mean, shoot, you know. There's a bunch of Army guys sitting around watching Bozo in the morning before we go to formation.
Right.
Because the time change, you know, difference worked out. But, yeah, I think it's just an omen of things to come that, you know, hey, the Cubs aren't pushing it, you know.
So hold on a second here, Trucker Rich. Let me just make sure I understand you completely. You think that ABC7 is making a statement. If you're going to leave us and go to the Marquee Sports Network, well, then we're not going to prioritize you over Bachelor in Paradise. We're going to farm you out to Channel 26. We don't care because you don't care about us.
Ooh, that's smart, actually. Man.
Yep, that's my theory.
It's not bad.
I didn't have the words to put it like you did, but that's what I was thinking. You know, it's like, because look at the Blackhawks when the Cubs were getting, well, no, it was the Cubs that gave up for the Blackhawks when the Hawks were going into the, you know, the playoffs, you know, the Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
But, you know, now, you know, it's like they've become a money machine, you know.
Yeah.
And Seven is just saying, okay, you know, yeah, we'll make our money off The Bachelor and we'll give it to our little substation here and, you know.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
No, it's a good call, Trucker Rich. I appreciate it. You drive safe. You working right now?
Yes, sir.
Where are you headed?
I'm headed to LaPorte, Indiana, trying to outrun the rain that's chasing me from the west.
No, you stay away. Be safe out there, Trucker. We appreciate you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Yep. Have a good evening.
Absolutely. Trucker Rich headed to LaPorte, 312-981-7200. I mean, people are just, you guys are all making statements here on the text line, but just think, next year I won't be able to watch them at all because I won't pay to watch them on TV. See, people are saying that, and I'm just not completely certain that that's actually going to be the case. Bachelor in Paradise or the Cub game, 312-981-7200. Let's take a quick timeout, 720 WGN. 720 WGN. We're dealing with what I'm calling a civic crisis. Channel 7. Former home of Floyd Calber, and Mark Giangreco, and Diane Burns, Ron Majors, Tim Weigel, Jim Rose, legendary names in Chicago. Huge Cub game next week, Cincinnati. Wrigley Field, trying to make the playoffs. Joe Maddon might be getting fired. Chris Bryant could get traded. Everything's on the line. But Channel 7, who had the rights to the game, saying no. We want to show Bachelor in Paradise. And I'm Mark Harmon. I'm trying to make this, bring this into the public consciousness. This is not who we are as a city. We got Lori Lightfoot in place, trying to make the schools better, trying to keep the property taxes down. But this is a sports city. We honor it. Not over a reality TV show where they give you a rose and a bunch of 25-year-olds making out. What's going on here, Heidemann?
This is just heartbreaking. I mean, what happened to sports? Decency.
Right. Sports is life. But The Bachelor in Paradise. Yeah. We get KJ in here. KJ, welcome to WGN.
They got to be kidding. I'm from Chicago. I'm from that area. Our ad agency did a record in 1969 called Great Moments in Cubs Baseball. And these people want to watch what? Who cares about The Bachelor? Aren't you tired of it?
Well, there is a Bartlett native, Chris Bukowski. He's got many nicknames in The Bachelor in Paradise. I know nothing about this. I don't know why I get an echo here. KJ, thank you.
You're welcome.
Sometimes our phone line does that. I don't know why. And I don't know how that sounds on the air, but it sounds to me like there's a huge echo. But right. Bartlett native Chris Bukowski is no rookie to The Bachelor. Bukowski has been cast on 2 seasons of The Bachelor, and we need to call him. We might have to call Mary Boyle. She knows probably more about this than I do. How is this possible? What has happened? What's going on around here? Let's see. Your people are telling me I should call Harry Tynowitz. I mean, HT's got to be beside himself.
Yeah.
I mean, Harry's up. I'm sure you could call him.
Should I give him a call?
Yeah, sure. You call Harry.
I feel like he'd just be screaming into the phone. He'd be so upset.
I mean, here, I'll text Harry. We can. I'd love to hear Harry's thoughts on this, although I know what they are. I mean, this is one of the more... I think this is a low moment in Chicago television history. I'm a little disappointed that I'm not feeling the same outrage from anybody else. I mean, Michael, you seem like you're just resigned to it. Vic's off getting ready for a newscast.
Vic left the building, actually. He was so upset.
I mean, people are texting, I feel the same as Trucker Rich. I'm 52 years old. I've been a Cubs fan my whole life. I haven't watched a game all year. They are dead to me after learning they joined the Sinclair Group. People are making their statements.
Can Lee please accept this role?
Absolutely, I will. Thank you.
I mean, maybe I'm just a little bit thrown off because I actually had a breakup back in the day around The Bachelor.
Like, really?
Yeah, I went over to my, girlfriend's at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the show, I believe, started at 8 o'clock or maybe 7. I got to take a time out. You're telling me I got to take a time out.
No, I got to hear the end of this story. We have a little bit of time.
No, okay. let's take this 2-minute time out because I don't want to cut this story short. We'll take a 2-minute time out. I'll explain what happened when I broke up over The Bachelor. 720 WGN. 12:07. Good morning. Mark Carmen with you till 1 a.m. Nick D coming on up. Got a feeling Joel Murray might be on that show tonight, or at least sometime soon. I want to get to the debate tonight and play some of the clips from the candidates, but when Lulu calls, I put her on the air because there is only one Lulu. Lulu, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, Karen, and I feel your pain, but now for 2 reasons. You know you've talked to me enough to know I'm not a sports fan, so what ABC is doing is ridiculous. But then when you told the story about the breakup during The Bachelor,
yeah,
I'm old enough to be your mother, so I want to give you some motherly advice.
Okay.
If you don't have the names and addresses and titles that Chelsea wants for you by Tuesday, is it the night of the game? Or whatever day it is, do not sit down with her and watch The Bachelor, because you might have it happen to you again.
So let me get this straight, Lulu. I assume you were listening to the beginning of the show when I was doing Crosstalk with Justin. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so if people are just tuning in right now, Justin was asking me how my wedding was going. We're 79 days out. I've been getting yelled at all week because I... I'm supposed to get the names and the addresses to Chelsea so we can send out the invitations, and I've been a little bit lax to get that done. I'm a busy guy, Lulu.
Oh, I know. I've heard you all over the radio all summer. You're in the morning, you're at night, you're right. A host. You're right. Doing sports, and I understand that, but you got to get that done before
Bachelor. I do. This weekend is the weekend. But, you know, I got White Sox pre and post tomorrow night, Lulu. I got to stay focused. We got a big Bears game on Sunday. We got Northwestern on Saturday. I mean, that you got to prioritize getting the job done here, Lulu, right?
Right, but you got to get the stuff done for Chelsea.
I know. Let me ask you something, Lulu. Take a left turn here. We had the bridal shower last Sunday. Do you know that?
No, I did not.
I haven't talked about that. All right, I had the bridal shower. Now, you're supposed to show up at the bridal shower, Lulu, and support your bride, right? You go in there, you help her open up the gifts and all this stuff. And I got to tell you, it was a tough gig, Lulu. I mean, people were handing me boxes, and I was like looking at that, and they're like, oh, it's nambe, and I'm like, what the hell is nambe? Do you know what nambe is, Lulu?
I have no idea.
All right, Lulu, I gotta throw that out there to the class. Thank you for your advice. I appreciate it.
We'll get it done.
Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye. I love Lulu. Michael Heidemann, do you know what nambe is?
Is it some kind of drum?
It's not a drum. 312-981-7200, nambe. Who knows what nambe is? I think I'm saying it right. Let me do a quick search here. Nambe. Nambe. Yes, I have it right. Nambe.
Is it a food?
It's not a food.
Oh, this would be a good listener question. What is nambe?
Nambe is a brand, and I'm looking at right now the official nambe store where you can get...
Cowboy hats.
Not cowboy hats, but like... Here, hang on a second. You're dining nambe. There's dinnerware sets. There's glassware. In the kitchen, cooking tools. There's the Curvo salad scissors. Why anybody would need that, I have no idea. The Curvo serving spoon. There's the Breeze knife block.
That sounds expensive.
You get that for $100. There's the Willow. How much do you think it costs for the Willow spoon rest? You just rest the spoon there.
Okay, you literally just rest a spoon on this appliance.
Right. How much is that? Just to rest your spoon.
Target, it'd probably go about $20. I'm guessing $30.
Okay, so you're okay. You know that a spoon rester is $20 at Target. I think a spoon rester at Target would be $5.
Well, is it the nambe?
The nambe Willow spoon rest is $25.
No, it's a steal.
Nambe. Oh my God, it's nambe. How are you supposed to feign any actual enthusiasm for this? I don't need any of this. I need advice actually here, because now you know this whole thing that you do with weddings. I just didn't know what happens in life. I'm learning as I go along. Nambe. Look, we got these forks. Aren't you excited, Mark? These forks are amazing. How does one get excited about this stuff? You got Louise in here. Louise.
Hi. Tell you that is very high-end pieces that you can use for dinnerware, and they are phenomenal, Mark. I mean, they're almost indestructible, but yeah, they have a high cost, but it's worth it. 100 years from now, you could still be using it.
All right, Louise. Let me put you on hold there.
Your children can rest their spoons on your Nambe appliance.
I mean, okay, so I've got a wood spatula that's indestructible. I'd rather have a destructible one for half the price. Give me the... This is some high-end stuff. It's Nambe. Mm-hmm. Here you go, Carm. Here's a red dish.
So people were giving you this, and you didn't know what it was. You're like, thank you for this.
Oh, it was a whole thing. Dish. You sit up there in a chair, and your lovely bride and her and all these women at the bridal shower, they're all there, and you get a salad fork. and then you get a serving dish. And then you get an apple Jewish something. And then you get an ice bucket.
How much was the apple Jewish something?
I have no idea. And then you get another ice bucket that I thought was a trash bin. I don't understand why I like, and everything is wrapped with all this paper, and you know you're supposed to, I don't know, take your time and unwrap these things. Oh, thank you so much, Cheryl and Susie and the guy is supposed to sit there and act excited because you get another kitchen utensil. I don't know how the I'm confused. 312-981-7200. Nambe. The Nambe. I'm getting, and that's in the gift center. Oh, there it is. Best sellers. Nambe. The scoop server. Scoop server.
Like an ice cream scoop server?
I'm going to read about it.
Scoop server.
The award-winning scoop server is a functional and modern twist on the classic chip and dip.
Okay.
A smaller vessel hangs over the large bowl in a graceful arc, allowing for easy all-in-one place dripping with the chip. Fill in with chips and salsa and vegetables and guacamole or stones with a tea light for an elegant non-mealtime look.
What? So this is a chip scooper, salsa scooper.
Yeah, it's made of Nambe alloy. 11 feet deep, I guess that's deep, and 8 feet high. Like there's a bowl, and then above the bowl, there's a hanging thing. How much do you think that costs?
$2,000.
You're $250 to put something in for chips and dips, man.
Oh, my gosh. That is Nambe. An expensive Super Bowl party.
Nambe. I mean, I'm texting my friends who are asking about the wedding. Do not get me anything off the registry. Nothing. Make a donation to the American Cancer Society. I don't need any of this stuff. I love my bride. I love that she loves this stuff. But I really don't need something that I can throw strawberries in, and on the top we're going to put some cream. I'm good with we have bowls. I'm down. I got a bowl. I could put some strawberries in there, and I'll take the whipped cream myself and...
Yeah, that seems fair. Does your fiance throw a lot of dinner parties? Is that why?
No. We have a small place. We can't have a dinner party. Maybe someday.
Okay.
But you know what? We'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to. We don't need the Nambe bowl. Let me get Kathy in here. 312-981-7200. Kathy.
Hi. How are you?
I'm excellent, Kathy. How are you?
Well, I was just waiting for you to decide to tell us if you went to the shower or not, so I guess you did. Did you have a good time?
I had a great time, Kathy. I just was a little I was a little overwhelmed by the gifts.
Yes.
So you feel me, Kathy? This is a little ridiculous, is it not?
Yes, it's beyond ridiculous.
Right. Why do I need?
What are you going to do with all the stuff that you have in your apartment now that you've been using?
Well, we don't have it in the apartment. It went to her mother's because there's no room for it. Can we put this in your basement? I mean, what do you do? How about the Cabo?
Well, you know what she's going to do, don't you?
No, I don't. Kathy, what is she going to do?
She is going to take everything and pack it up.
Yeah? And then do what?
Your stuff. and all the new stuff is going to go in your apartment.
What about the old stuff? Where's that going?
That's what I just said. She's at probably Goodwill.
Oh, okay. So we're going to pack up the old stuff, send that off to Goodwill, then we're going to put in the new stuff until we get more new stuff, and then we're going to pack up the other new stuff, and we're going to get rid of that.
Oh, no. She's never going to get rid of shower gifts. Never.
Never.
That's Aunt Jane gave her that bowl.
Oh, Aunt Jane did give her that bowl. You're absolutely right. What about the Cabo salad bowl with servers? The Cabo collection.
You need that.
We do. We do. It mixes traditional Nambe alloy with the light hue of ash wood. That's what I need in my life, is a good light hue of ash.
That's right.
Right. The Cabo bowl. It sits elegantly, Kathy.
You could always use it for cereal.
Right. That's okay. See, now I got a $250 bowl that I'm putting some cornflakes in. All right. Thank you,
good
Kathy.
Luck.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
I mean, I'm trying to be a good teammate here. You know, she was putting it on me. What gift are you going to bring me? So I got a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the flowers. I scored on the flowers, man. And that was the thing, by the way. Sundays, flower shops are not open.
Yeah. That's a
I did not know that.
Closed day.
So, I mean, I woke up on Sunday. And this shower's at noon. And I'm at 10 o'clock. I'm like looking for flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Closed. Now I start calling the ones that there's two of them. Hey, is there any way that you could put together a bouquet by when? In the next 30 minutes? Oh, well, we don't have bouquet flowers here, but I could put together some collection. Nah, that's not going to work. Let me see. I'll get back to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I got her done.
Nice. That's what you need to do sometimes.
I mean, she loved the flowers. She's like, these are the most beautiful flowers you've ever brought me.
How far did you need to drive to get these flowers?
I wasn't far. I wasn't far. I'll throw a shout out to it. A new leaf came through for me.
Did you ever say on the radio what the gift that you got her was? Or is that kind of a secret?
What's they say again?
The gift you got your fiance for the shower.
Is that a secret?
Is it? If it's,
I got her a very nice, understated yet beautiful, like a little necklace. It has the C on there. I thought it was for Chelsea. She's like, no, it's for Carmen. Isn't that adorable? You said, come on. She wanted a little thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
was it from
text
Nabe?
Line coming in here from the 412? Forget the marriage. Run off to Vegas. I'm with you on the first two parts here, and then she said, and marry Michael. You mean Jordan? If you mean MJ, then you know now you're cooking with gas over there. No, I'm not forgetting the marriage. I'm in love. I looked at the scoop surfer. How could you even clean that? Ridiculous. This is from Marilyn. I don't know how we're going to clean all this stuff, Marilyn. How do you, and some of these things you can't even put in the dishwasher, which is fine, by the way. I like to manually do my dishes. But that's the thing too. You can't don't use that. You're going to scratch it. So you can't. Now you have like things in your house that you can't even use because you're worried. You're not living in a house. You're living in a museum.
Did you have that? Or did you have friends who had that? Like where they have the China dish cabinet that no one ever used.
Yeah, the Gottliebs. Like whenever I would go over there, I felt like the dirty kid. I'd sit down on their
plastic covered couch
in the Ottoman or whatever, and they would run it like they'd run. What is that on that seat that you're sitting on? And like rub the finger and try to get the spot out that like was already there, but somehow I feel like I created. Like, I don't want to live in that house, man.
You're getting closer and closer to it. I'm just warning you.
I'm aware. 847. I'm not married, but you're not alone. My brother got married. He would twitch every time FedEx drove up and the driver. Right. I mean, I'm coming home every day and the we live in a high rise building. Doorman's handing me another box, Crate and Barrel. And then I open up, I'm like, return. But I got it from, no, return. Never going to use it. Carm, do either of you even cook? She cooks, 773. And I make cereal. I can make an egg. And I'll make an omelet, scrambled. Nambe is some ugly stuff from the 708. Give it to the stupid bachelor. I don't know if it's not my style. Yes, Celine, I did bring Chelsea a gift to the shower. Just talked about that. I brought her a gift. I was a good car.
I love the comments that are coming through on the line right now. You never use a spoon to eat at Popeyes.
Right.
It's true, though.
Right.
You're just some people want to be a simple man and a simple life. That's the way it is.
Text line 815. Now you got to get a house, kids, dog, cat, and plenty of cabinets to store your new stuff. So that's the thing. Like, even if you have the house with all the cabinets and have the room to put all that stuff, then it all goes in there and you literally never use it. Like Chelsea said to me, she thought this would be great for when we have Thanksgiving. When we have Thanksgiving, one out of every 7 years, we'll bust this out. I just think we need to change things up. Is that my father calling in? Oh, my dad's going to yell at me now. Papa Fred, is that you?
That's me.
Dad, you got to turn the radio down.
Is that my father calling in? My dad's going
to. I just want to tell you.
Wait, hang on. Put the radio down, Fred.
Is that you?
Hang on, Dad. I'm going to come back to you. You got to put you're not on the radio right now, Dad. We got to put the radio down.
I love when your dad calls in.
Let me see if we can try to get Fred. Are you there?
I'm here.
Dad, okay. I'm gonna come back. You're not on the radio right now, Dad.
Dad, it's not gonna work. We're gonna take a timeout. Turn the radio needs to be turned off, Dad. We'll come back to you after this 2 minute timeout. 720 WGN. The bridal shower has occurred. My dad actually showed up. He's on the line right now. Papa Fred burning the midnight oil.
I just want to tell you that it was a wonderful party.
It was.
That they love Chelsea. She's a lovely gal. I'm very, very fond of her.
Uh-huh.
The presents that were given to her were all beautiful presents, which I'm sure every woman there would have appreciated having. And so if you don't feel the same way about it, that's not typical of everybody else there.
Wait,
it was a great party.
Hold on. Dad, when they were opening the gifts, I believe you had your back to the gifts and you were like not you were less than engaged. You were not into the gifts either. Were correct?
Well, I don't recall that, but it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is that they were wonderful gifts that women, I'm sure, all would love to have themselves. So, you know, it's a woman thing, and I wouldn't knock it at all. Anyway, it was a great party, and it made her very happy.
It
was a pleasure to be there.
What about me, Dad? Are you happy that I've got
the shower is for the woman. And you were there, and you did a good job.
Thank you.
But what about you? You don't have to love the presents.
Well, but I'm going to be eating out of these dishes, Fred. They're going to be in the house for the rest of time.
So what? Why should that trouble you? If it makes Chelsea happy, what do you care? You shouldn't. In any event, I don't want to belabor it anymore.
No,
it was a great party. She got some wonderful presents.
She did,
which she truly appreciates.
She did,
and I was delighted to see it.
So. I was glad you were there, Dad.
Okay. All right. Okay. Bye. Bye.
I love you, Dad. It is just, it's getting richer around here, I gotta tell you. You jerk! Hey, listen, I didn't say I didn't have a nice time, and I was super happy that Chelsea got all these beautiful things. Let's just return some of them. Or a lot of them. So I love this get-up challenge. Blanco Brown. I don't even know the name of this song. What's the actual name?
It's called The Get-Up.
The Get-Up, right, The Get-Up.
I can only think of the dance now when I hear it, too.
I see you booging in there, Vic Vaughn, now walking away, but he loves it. It's so catchy. We're thinking about doing this dance at the wedding.
Really?
Yes, it's on the table. Now, that would be fun.
You gotta do that.
That would make all the spatulas worth it. If we learn that dance... Just got everybody going. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be the next viral hit for sure. Like, forget about the LeBron James Cleveland song. It's just, this is...
Carm's wedding, Chelsea's wedding. Let me get that in there. Her wedding, too.
You'd be even better if you did it down the aisle.
Right, you know? That'd be amazing.
Uh-huh.
If I just came down the aisle with the arms out. Woohoo!
If anybody's confused about this song and dance, you got to go to Carm's Facebook page. I think it's still up there, and check out Carm doing the dance.
It's somewhere. I actually just tweeted out something from my Twitter at the Carm. This is a left turn, but I, you know, yesterday was 9/11, and I had not seen the man in the red bandana. Have you ever seen that video?
No, the man in the red bandana.
I don't want to. This is a big left turn here, but I got to get it in there. We're running out of time tonight. The man in the red bandana. He was a college kid at BC, Boston College, who was working in the towers that day, and he played lacrosse for BC, and his dad had given him a bandana when he was a kid. He put one in his pocket. This one is for show, you know, the front on your suit, and then he gave him this red bandana. This one is for blow, if you gotta blow your nose. And so this kid carried around the red bandana his whole life. And the day that the towers fell, 9/11, he was saving people, and they identified him, the people that survived. There was a guy with this red bandana, and I just tweeted it out at the Carm. It is worth your 20 minutes. I was weeping like I hadn't cried in a while watching that thing. But at any rate, check it out. If you don't need my Twitter to find it, if you just searched man in red bandana, it'll pop up on your YouTube or wherever, and it'll make you feel good about the world that we live in, even when we're not having the greatest days in that same world. Let me get B in here, who wants to talk about it says cheap wedding, which scares me. What's up, B? Welcome to WGN.
Hi.
Hey, B.
My name's B.A. I'm in Bristol, and we're getting it pretty hard here as far as weather goes at the moment.
Bristol, Connecticut?
The lights are flickering as we speak.
Oh, boy. Stay safe, B.
But let me preempt this by saying the wedding I'm going to speak of is a second-time-around wedding.
Okay.
So I understand your gal and how she waits to make a perfect home.
She does.
And both sides are going to be coming over for some things, and she's going to try to please all the people all the time.
Yep.
So you just have to please her now, because just imagine what she's going to go through the years.
What about what I'm going to go through, B? I'm going to be pleasing those same people. Did you
just
clean?
Get a flask like all the other grooms do.
Good advice.
Thanks, B.
Okay, let me tell you about my wedding.
Okay, B, tell me about your wedding.
We're an NFL couple.
You're a what? An NFL couple? You love football?
Yeah, we're NFL fans.
Okay.
Like, we're Bears fans, but we have secondary teams. And in the years that we got married, our secondary team was Kansas City.
Okay.
So I tried to plan everything myself. We had a beautiful garden wedding. They had all the flowers. So we just made flowers with the three-of-a-kind bouquets from Jewels.
Uh-huh.
And got some potted mums.
Okay.
Matching the girls' dresses, which were red, white, and blue, because my daughters don't want me to pick their clothes.
That's smart of them. They're old enough to pick their own clothes, B.
Right. They got to wear brilliant garnet and turquoise instead of sage green.
Okay.
And instead of getting a flight somewhere, we rented a ragtop Mustang white.
Uh-huh.
And we wanted to get to Colorado to see the Broncos play Kansas City.
Great idea.
But we knew there wasn't enough time, so we decided to go to Kansas City and watch the game on TV.
So the whole bridal party watched the Chiefs play football?
So the weather was bad. My veil was faded.
Oh, no.
In the end, we ended up going to Kansas City. It was, even though there wasn't a game or anything, it was beautiful to see the city after seeing it on TV. You know, the horse fountains and all that.
Oh, sure.
And the lit up carriages. But we spent very little on all that other stuff.
Right.
You know, we got the food, we got the liquor, we got the car, and we did the travel. And Nick's coming on soon, so he'll appreciate this. We took the route down Route 120.
We went through the bridges of Madison County. We went to the Field of Dreams. When we went there, we found out Doc filmed his sequence in Galesburg. So we took Route 20.
Wait, hang on, B.
All the way around and came back home.
Good effort.
In a Mustang.
Okay.
You don't even want to know what we did under the bridges of Madison County. But you just have fun.
B, I'm going to put you on hold, B, because I think that's the story might go on all the way through Nick D's show. But thank you so much for sharing. And for a transcript of B's call, you can email me at thecarm@gmail.com. But God love you, B. I'm glad you're super enthused about your wedding still to this day.
Great storyteller. Yeah, yes. It sounds like an awesome wedding, too. It's just, that's another way you can do it.
Well, I like somebody who starts out, when you're talking about wedding, we're NFL fans. Right into the... We're gonna plan our wedding around sports. That's how we do it. All right. I want to do a little bit on the debate tonight. I want to play the highlights. So let's take a quick time out, and we'll do our final segment coming on back here. We're gonna hear from Andrew Yang. We're gonna hear from Joe Biden. We're gonna hear from Kamala Harris. Who else we got in there, Michael? I know we got. Do we have Bernie?
We got Bernie.
We got Bernie. Do we have Pete?
We do have Pete.
We have Pete? Well, mm-hmm. We got a lot to do. All
right. And we got B calling back, too.
And we got B calling back, too. One more talk with B, 720 WGN. Love you, Tom Petty. Miss you, Tom Petty. Great music tonight, Michael Heidemann. Love what you're doing in there. All right, let's do a little bit of the Democratic debate tonight. 10 candidates all on stage. Andrew Yang's in trouble, by the way. He apparently... Do you know what side you're supposed to wear the American flag if you wear the flag?
I'm guessing over your heart, so maybe your, left side?
That would be left side, correct. Yang wore it on the right side. People are getting on him.
Oof, come on.
Can't get that wrong, right?
That's an easy win right there.
But, listen, the guy's heart was in the right place, even though the pin was in the wrong place. Like, get over it.
Maybe his heart's in the wrong place.
Yang placed the flag pin on his right side. The only other male candidate wearing a flag was Joe Biden, who had it on the left. People are tweeting at him. As the preeminent authority on lapel pins, Mr. Yang is wearing the flag pin on the wrong side. I didn't hear a word Yang said because I was distracted by his flag pin being on the opposite lapel. Andrew Yang, you got to put the flag pin on the left lapel near the heart, Doug. That was from... At not Roger Moore. People were just tweeting at him. Andrew Yang made news tonight, though. He announced a $120,000 giveaway during the debate.
My campaign will now give a freedom dividend of $1,000 a month for an entire year to 10 American families, someone watching this at home right now. If you believe that you can solve your own problems better than any politician, go to yang2020.com and tell us how $1,000 a month will help you do just that. This is how we will get our country working for us again, the American people.
So Andrew Yang is a very interesting candidate. He is saying that he's going to give everybody money, over $1,000 roughly a month we're all going to get if he becomes the president of the United States, so we can handle our incidental bills and whatnot. It frees you up to do other things. And I'm not exactly sure how he's going to pay for all that, but that's what he wants to do. And basically, I mean, his thought process is that, look, going in the future, robots are going to be doing a lot of the work that humans are going to be doing. So the whole concept of work is going to change dramatically in the future. Those of you who are driving trucks out there right now or who are working in call centers right now, doing a million things that a robot will be able to do faster, better, cheaper, for longer, all of it. You're going to have to reinvent yourself. So part of that is the money that he's going to be giving back to the people.
You know, it's interesting because there's some thinking behind what these candidates are saying. And I'm starting to believe that if you know you're not going to win, and you and I kind of talked about this, I think, a show or two ago. If you know you're not going to win, that's kind of free reign to say whatever you want, to whatever you want. And this is his promise. But if he doesn't win, he doesn't need to follow through with this.
It's almost, you know, the way you just laid that out, it's almost similar to the way Donald Trump won in 2016. He didn't think he was going to win.
Right?
But he just kept going and going, and people bought into it, and he won the election.
Because if you're conservative, and that's what Obama did and McCain, you know, they made real promises, and they're like, well, you know, I'd love to make crazy assessments and exaggerations, but they thought they were going to win. I mean, yeah, Trump is. He said he's going to build the wall around Mexico, and we're still. I guess it hasn't happened yet. It doesn't seem real. It doesn't sound like it's going to be real ever. But
he's still battling out. I believe somebody's probably down there right now putting up another yet piece of some form of barrier. I think Andrew Yang is super smart and super interesting, and what he says to me makes a whole lot of sense. But I don't think Andrew Yang is going to be the guy who gets to actually do this when it comes. But it'll be interesting to follow his path as to where he goes from here.
I want to see what he brings up next in the next debate, what he's going to be promising.
Sure. And there was the news yesterday that Andrew Yang would beat Donald Trump in New Hampshire, which was...
Wow.
Andrew Yang had to be like, whoa, kidding. Sweet.
He woke up to that Twitter alert and he's like, sweet.
That's not bad. Who should we do next, Michael? Who do you got teed up? Let's do Joe Biden. He talked about gun control, and I don't know if you'll be able to tell on the radio, but he almost lost his teeth when he was speaking about gun control this evening.
Months after Sandy Hook, a measure to require expanded background checks died on the Senate floor. If you couldn't get it done after Sandy Hook, why should voters give you another chance?
Because it got done before. I'm the only one up here who's ever beat the NRA. Only one ever beat the NRA nationally. I'm the guy that brought the Brady Bill into focus and became law. By the way, the way Beto handled, excuse me for saying Beto, but Congressman...
That's all right. That does good.
The way he handled what happened in his hometown is meaningful. To look in the eyes of those people, to see those kids, to understand those parents, you understand the heartache.
But this is
the
problem.
We are ready to do this.
So there, you could tell at the beginning there that he was struggling with what he was saying, and that's because he lost his teeth. That's not great. Kamala Harris took a direct shot at Sir Donald Trump.
Great to be back at TSU. So I plan on spending tonight talking with you about my plans to address the problems that keep you up at night. But first, I have a few words for Donald Trump, who we all know is watching. So President Trump... You've spent the last 2.5 years full-time trying to sow hate and division among us, and that is why we've gotten nothing done. You have used hate, intimidation, fear, and over 12,000 lies as a way to distract from your failed policies and your broken promises. The only reason you've not been indicted is because there was a memo in the Department of Justice that says a sitting president cannot be charged with a crime. But here's what you don't get. What you don't get is that the American people are so much better than this. And we know that the vast majority of us have so much more in common than what separates us, regardless of our race, where we live, or the party with which we're registered to vote. And I plan on focusing on our common issues, our common hopes and desires, and in that way unifying our country, winning this election, and turning the page for America. And now, President Trump, you can go back to watching Fox News.
Ah, the old gloves are coming off here. There you go, Kamala. I like that reminder, and I think it's a solid reminder for everybody. We are more alike than we are different. Even if you want to pick up your phone right now and tweet at me, MAGA2020, we are still more alike than we are different. Let's hear from Bernie. What did Bernie have to say tonight? The old Bernie Sanders.
So this was the clip from 1992.
Oh, yeah.
Our vision of America says that this nation must lead the world in protecting our fragile environment and not be the only nation on earth with a president unwilling to sign a treaty rolling back carbon dioxide emissions so that we can reverse the greenhouse effect and prevent a climatic catastrophe. We want our nation to lead the world, not to be in last place on this issue.
So I sent that to Michael before the show tonight because as I was scrolling through social media, that was a video. That was what Bernie said in 1992. And here we are in 2019. Do the math on that. That's 17 years. And he was right. And we did nothing. And Greenland's melting. And there's fires in the Amazon. And we're having 500-year floods three times a season, seemingly. And now it's a huge issue, which I was happy to see. Hey, like, honestly, what matters to me, Mark Harmon here at 12, whatever it is at night, Nick D coming up in 5 minutes. You have to figure out what we're doing with climate change. And it's not just the U.S., by the way. We need to have some partners around the world. So that takes some serious, serious leadership. And we all know in this country that the number one thing we always prioritize is money. Dollars, 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 dollars. And we love to kick things down the road. Well, I think we're at the point where there is a majority believing that we cannot continue to kick it down the road, that we actually are starting to think about our kids and our kids' kids, and maybe even us, for the record. I mean, I saw one of my friends the other day that they just bought a place in the Florida Keys, and they see Hurricane Dorian coming, and they don't know what to do. And I would have been like, you're buying something in the Florida Keys right now? I wouldn't buy anything in the Florida Keys. If I had billions of dollars, okay, fine. But assuming I'm a normal person who's got to make a wise investment, you buying in the Florida Keys? You buying in Miami? You buying in... It's not even our kids' kids. It's us right here, right now. I mean, we're seeing it, like, I don't know about daily, but we're seeing it all the time. Michael, you look like you want to say something.
No, I am just listening, and I totally agree with you. I'm thinking about all the news reports. It seems like every single month there's a new hurricane or tornado, and it's kind of like Armageddon. What's going on with the climate, and what can we do to fix it? Because you said that the whole world needs to kind of make a sweeping motion to really counteract this, because the United States is... I mean, no, we probably do make the most pollution in the world, but we still are a drop in the bucket when you think that there's continents that have over a billion people who are still, not really on board with this as well.
I mean, I'm on the suburbs last night, tornado warnings going off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this doesn't feel like this has ever happened before on a September night. It just feels different.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do our final... clip from tonight. Pete Buttigieg, who I think I just said his name right. I'm still amazed by the people that actually get that right all the time. But I Mayor Pete impresses me. Here he was.
You know, as a military officer serving under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and as an elected official in the state of Indiana when Mike Pence was governor, at a certain point, when it came to professional setbacks, I had to wonder whether just acknowledging who I was going to be the ultimate career-ending professional setback. I came back from the deployment and realized that you only get to live one life, and I was not interested in not knowing what it was like to be in love any longer. So I just came out. I had no idea what kind of professional setback it would be, especially because, inconveniently, it was an election year in my socially conservative community. What happened was that when I trusted voters to judge me based on the job that I did for them, they decided to trust me and reelected me with 80% of the vote. And what I learned was that trust can be reciprocated, and that part of how you can win and deserve to win is to know what's worth more to you than winning. And I think that's what we need in the presidency right now. We have to know what we are about. And this election is not about any of us up here. It is not about this president, even though it's hard to talk of anything else some days. It's about the people who trust us with their lives. A kid wondering if we're actually going to make their schools safe when they've learned active shooter drills before they've learned to read. A generation wondering whether we will actually get the job done on climate change. And if we hold to that, then it doesn't matter what happens to each of us professionally. Together, we will win a better era for our country.
I love it, Mayor Pete. Ain't about you. It's about the greater good. I love hearing that from politicians. It seems rare that we get that nowadays.